I put out a call for people, for parents, to raise their children to serve God and preach the gospel. We're in trouble in America. I don't know how much people realize it, but we're in deep trouble. The Word of God is not being preached many times in our churches, not as it is. We was in Evansville last week preaching, and after the service, a lady came to my wife and said to her, "You know, my husband and I have made a decision to raise our three sons to be preachers." Another lady standing there, her sister-in-law, said, "We have two boys, and you know, I've been thinking about that too since Pastor Ross preached." And she said, "You know, I think that's what we're going to do. Get them ready." And you say, "Brother Ross, do we need preachers?" We need preachers. We don't need ministers. We need preachers that'll preach the Word of God. And if we don't get them, we're going to be in trouble. I believe America already is in trouble. Just look around, folks. Look what God is doing or allowing to be happening. We need preachers. Jesus is coming. And tonight we're going to look at John the Baptist just a little bit tonight, because he was a crying voice. And I say to you, we need a crying voice. G. Campbell Morgan said many, many years ago, he said he was sitting in his office one day after he had preached, and he was pondering his message and the fact that he was a preacher. And he said it seemed like God just spoke to him and said to him, "Kimball, are you going to be a preacher with a big name, or are you going to be my messenger?" There's a difference, young men. You can be a preacher and you can gain notoriety, and sometimes notoriety just comes along with it. You can't do anything about that. But make sure always that you're his messenger. For that's what people need. That's what this country needs, is a messenger that'll preach the Word of God.
Amen.
I want to, and also let me say this first. John the Baptist was a man who said, "Jesus must increase and I must decrease." That's a principle I trust that you'll take with you the rest of your life. Jesus is the one that must increase. Always. He's the one that must be preached and exalted. Preachers stand in pulpits. They can't help that. People look and listen to men. They can't help that. But always, always point people to Christ.
Amen.
And if you do, if you lift him up, he'll draw people to him.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So I just want to share with you from John the Gospel of John, the first chapter. And I want to read a few verses of Scripture, starting in verse number 1. John chapter 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Let us pray. Father, once again I thank you for your grace, goodness, kindness. And Lord, tonight it's a very special night, especially in the lives of these two young men. I pray for them. God, please help them. Encourage their hearts. Give them a spirit of humility. Lord, that will stand before you and preach the word of God wherever you direct. We thank you for this great privilege as we preach tonight. Your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First of all, I'd just like to share with you that it's very, very important, and I'm sure you do by the testimony of your that you just gave, the assurance of your call. I have heard men before, and I've heard them say that you don't have to have a call. I believe with all of my heart, in other words, they've said all you have to do is just offer yourself and maybe God will accept you. I believe that there's a time in each man's life when God in some respect, some way, puts his hand on him and calls him into the ministry. I think the preparation that God makes, as he did with John the Baptist spent approximately 30 years in preparation for a one-year ministry. Wow. Preparation is important. It's important because I believe in your growing up years, and I know it was true in mine, that God did things in my life that I just absolutely did not realize he was preparing me to preach. Probably if I'd known that, I'd have probably headed somewhere. Because I was a very introvert, and I didn't want to be around people. Two was a crowd. Me and my wife, that was enough. That's the way I felt. I'm serious about that. And yet God reached down and put his hand on me and called me to preach. I look back and I look at the hardships that God allowed me to go through in my early life, and he used all the things to prepare me for the ministry, for the preaching of the word of God. I remember the discipline that I received. God gave me a dad. He was not a mean man. He was a good man, but he was a firm man. When he said something was to be done, he meant something was to be done. And if it was not done, we had to have not a good excuse. There was no excuse. And I thank God, because I look back at all of this, and I thank God that he put that within me. I thank God that he taught me how to work. Never been afraid to work. Never have, never will be, I don't think. I like to work. But my dad and my mother put that in me. God trained me from a young man to learn how to work, because the ministry is work. And God was preparing. And not only that, he taught me how to be under authority. I was under the authority of my parents. My parents taught me to be under the authority of teachers and people who was over me. And I thank God again for that, because a person who never learns to be under authority can never be authority. We need to learn that wonderful lesson. And God does much of that in the growing up years. And yet, let me say to you, you're not going to get out of school. He'll continue to train you for the rest of your life. I was one of these young men that really didn't care a whole lot about school. I'd rather be out mushroom hunting, walking in the woods, doing all kinds of things, hunting and doing all kinds of things. It's what I'd rather have done. So when I got out of school, I thought, man, I can rejoice. I'm out of school. That was wonderful. And God took me to Bible college, night Bible college, after we was married, after we had our children. And then I got out of that and I said, praise God, I'm out of school. And I found out I never have got out of school. I'm still in it. And for the rest of my pastorate years, I sure went to school. Amen. And you will too. But that's not bad. That's good. Because God loves us and he continues to teach us and to train us. And so I say to you, did you receive a call? Do you know for sure the assurance of your call? I stood out in the backyard of our property in Brazil, Indiana, where we was living when God called me to preach. We'd gotten saved 4 years earlier, and God began to work on me. I did not know what he was doing. I had no understanding what he was doing. All I knew, he was dealing with me. And I stood out in the yard one night, late out in the yard, probably close to midnight, and I looked up to heaven, and I screamed at God. I'm not suggesting you do that, but I screamed to God and I said, "What do you want?" And he didn't scream back at me, "I want you to preach." But within the next two or three weeks, with the quiet, calm spirit of the Holy Spirit of God, he assured my heart he wanted me to preach. I've never doubted that from that day. I've wondered why many times. Not making fun. I've wondered why God would call me. But I've never doubted he did. It's very, very important, because let me say to you, you need the assurance of your call. Down through the years that I have been preaching and pastoring, I want to tell you, it would have been very difficult to continue in that work if I did not have the assurance of the call of God. But I had his call. I knew it. I knew I could not quit. You need the assurance that God has called you. And when you have that, you don't have to worry about anything else. You have a God that loves you and will go before you and will help you and guide you and direct you for the rest of your life. Because that's his responsibility, since he's the one that called you. Amen. I mean, say to you, was your answer to God when you was called, was it with conditions? I hear all kinds of things in the last quite a few years. I hear people who say they've been called of God, and they're trying to figure out if they want to answer that call and all of those kind of things, and it's something that I can't comprehend. When God called me, I did not think I had a choice. And I'm serious about that. I never once said, "You know what, Lord, I just don't know whether I want to do this or not." When I knew and I had the assurance that God wanted me to preach the Word of God, I just thought, that's what I've got to do. It's not a question about it. Amen? And so I'm saying to you, don't answer God yes or whatever with conditions. It's just whatever he wants. He'll direct the path. He'll take you. He'll work things out, even when it doesn't seem possible. But God will do it, because he's the one who has called.
Yes, sir.
Not only that, another thing, not only the assurance of your call, you need to be not afraid of sacrifice. I want to read to you from the book of Matthew, the 3rd chapter, for just a moment. 3rd chapter of the book of Matthew. Let's begin reading at verse number 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey." I'm just going to stop reading there for a moment and say to you that sometimes the ministry takes sacrifice. I go back and I remember I was working at Anaconda Aluminum Company in Terre Haute, Indiana, when we got saved. And God called me to preach, and I began to preach. Began to go where I could and preach. And finally, we started Blessed Hope Baptist Church down here. We pastored over here at Providence outside. It was American Baptist Church. I tell people, I got saved in American Baptist Church. I got called to preach in a Southern Baptist Church. The first church that I pastored was an American Baptist Church. Then we got right with God and we started an independent fundamental Baptist church. But when you don't know any better, you just don't know any better. You're just dumb. See, I look at some of these people. My son, pastor over here, doing a wonderful job. I want to tell you right now, though, he's always been an independent fundamental Baptist. He don't know what it is to be a liberal. Amen? So you just, you know, you guys don't know what it is to be a liberal.
Amen.
Thank God. But you just simply, you've got to understand that God sometimes is going to test you and try you, even in the finances of life. Anaconda Aluminum Company, I had four children, my wife and four children, when God called me. I was 30 years old before God called me. And I was working at Anaconda Aluminum Company, and I was making the most money in production that could be made. Good job. And so when he called me to preach, they had a shift over there. Sometimes I couldn't work that shift and preach because they had a swing shift, and I'd have to be working. So I bid down to a job where I could work on a straight shift, and then I could preach. Then after that, that job went the other way, and I had to work on weekends. So I bid down to the lowest job in the plant, was sweeping the floor, the least money, so I could stay on a shift where I could preach. Then God said, quit and go full time. Okay. Now, I'm just saying to you. Now, what was he doing? He just trying to see if I really meant business. He always took care of me through that. You understand? He took care of me. But he just tests you sometimes to make sure you mean business. And so I'm saying to you, you see, he's trying to teach us to trust him. Above all, Steve and Derek, trust God with everything. He's a God that loves you so much, and he wouldn't call you if he wasn't going to use you and prepare the way for you and take care of you. May not be everything you want, but he'll take care of you. I'm living proof of that. But you have to sacrifice many times, sometimes financially, sometimes your time. There's no doubt about the sacrifice of your time. That's just going to be part of it. The way of life that you live, there's things that other people can do, you cannot. Your congregation sometimes will do things, and no one will think a thing about it, but you can't. You got to set a higher standard. Amen. You've got to be the one that sets the standard. Most of them, and I think we shared this with you, most of them will not. Some of them will live up to that standard. A lot of them won't. A lot of them will live down here. If you lower the standard, they'll live down here. You got to set the standard. You got to sacrifice things that maybe you would enjoy to do, but just absolutely cannot. Because you're a preacher. You're a man of God. Jesus says, deny thyself and follow me. And he means deny yourself. Amen. Not only that, don't be afraid of their faces. I want to show you over in Matthew. I think we are still in Matthew, the third chapter. I want to start reading at verse 4. The same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the regions round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan and confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of viper, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? I want you to listen to this preaching. Imagine preaching this to your congregation. And he says, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able these stones to raise up children from Abraham. And he now also the axe is laid unto the root of the tree. Therefore every tree which bringeth forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. What I'm simply saying to you, John the Baptist was a man that was not afraid to preach. The message that he brought forth was the message that God gave him, and it was a necessary message. If you will go with me over to the book of Mark, for just a moment, the book of Mark, the sixth chapter. Sixth chapter, verse number 17. Our pastor mentioned this in his message this morning. But notice in verse number 17, and Herod himself, verse 16, but when Herod heard thereof, he said, it is John whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Again, I'm saying to you, do not be afraid of the faces that you face. Preach the word. Amen. John the Baptist was not afraid to preach to Herod that he was a sinner and he had done wrong.
Yes, sir.
Don't be afraid to do that. You're going to be tested because you're going to go into churches. I don't know what's going to happen. If you have a blessing of being able to start a church, it's better than resurrecting one. It'll be much better. But let me say to you, if one of these days you're put in a situation where you go into a church, you're going to find all kinds of things there, and many times you're going to find sin present in that church. You do have to be kind. You do have to be gracious. But you cannot not preach against sin. You have to deal with it. That's what John the Baptist did here. He dealt with sin and he was not afraid to do it. Yes, it got him put in prison. Yes, it got him beheaded. But he still dealt with sin. You have to deal with sin. Don't be afraid of the faces of those you preach to. Love them, care for them, be concerned about them, but don't be afraid of them.
Amen.
Amen. No. Never do that, you see. I remember a man right after I started in the ministry. I'll tell you the opposite side of that. Went down to a nursing home many, many years ago when we first started preaching. Went down to the nursing home down there in Linton. And there was an old preacher. And he always come to listen to me. He'd sit out there and amen me. I love that, you know. But he'd sit out there. So I'd go over and talk to him after I preached. One day I went over and I said to him, his name was Gerald's. I can still remember, an old man. I said, Brother Gerald's, give me some advice as a preacher. I'm a young preacher. Give me some advice. Best advice I can give you, he said, is this, preacher. He said, love your people even when they are unlovely. I've found that's good advice. But you don't love your people by not telling them the truth.
That's right.
So you love your people when you tell them the truth. John R. Rice used to say, boy, preach hell and preach it hot. Our pastor done that this morning, thank God. But he said, do it with a tear in your eye.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes,
sir. So you have to preach. John the Baptist preached, and he preached against sin. And it's necessary for you to do that. Yes, it cost him his head. And let me ask you a question. What will you do when it falls on you to make decisions? You're no longer sitting in a congregation. You have to make the decisions. It all falls on you, as Truman said, the buck stops here. That's why you need your pastor ask you to pray for him constantly, because he can't be as one sitting out in a congregation unconcerned about certain things. He has to make decision after decision after decision. And you will too. I mean decisions even sometimes you ought not to have to make, but you are forced into having to make them. See, so what direction will you establish a church? Let me say to you something. Years and years and years, multitudes of people have sat where you are sitting and determined in their heart that they are not going to compromise. And I believe they meant it. But many of those same ones are compromisers today. You say, Brother Austin, do you think that's true? No, I don't think that's true of you, but I just want to warn you, you want to make sure that it doesn't happen to you. Because we all think, oh, we're not going to do that. We're never going to do that. But I want to tell you, there's pressures put on you. There's people who put pressure on you to try to change, to do something different, to let off. Don't do it. Just don't do it. Just keep preaching the word of God, you see. Can I speak to the wives just a moment? There's people in churches across America. We have blessed people here. You know why? Because they've been built over years and years and years. They're good people. They've helped us. They've stood with us. I didn't say they's perfect. Now, don't get your heads all up. But they are. They're good people, and we've been blessed by it. But there's people out there, let me tell you, I know, that's ready to chew you up and spit you out. I'm talking to the wives. And that's what they desire to do. They want to get at your husband through you. You've got to be very careful. Amen. Stand fast with your husband. Refer to him. You know, it's a wonderful thing. My wife says, you know, you just need to go talk to my husband about that. I don't have any idea. You need to go see him. Oh, it's a marvelous thing. Amen. And one thing let me say to you, not saying you don't, control this. Be very careful with this. Because you can get your husband in more trouble than he can shake a stick at. He all at once is defending you when he don't have to. And he will defend you. You're his wife. Yes, he will. He'll fight battles for you. I know he will. And sometimes that's going to be necessary. But sometimes he's having to defend you when it's not necessary. That's just something I give you free. It's good advice. I want you to turn, if you have your Bibles, to the book of Galatians, the first chapter, and I just want to read one verse. Verse number 10, Galatians, the first chapter. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. What I'm saying to you, young men, is this. Just trust God and please him. See, you're not put in your position to please men. You're put in your position to please God. Now, I'll tell you something I've found down through the years. Good, solid Christians that love the Lord are pleased when I please God. Because that's what they want. But you'll find those that want you to please them. Okay? Remember in your heart, you're put there to please God Almighty. Amen? And that's who you should please. Let me ask you a question, because I'm just simply asking. One of these days, it's going to be on your shoulders. What if you go into a church where there's a deacon who wants to run the church? What are you going to do? You going to let him run it? Or are you going to handle it? You say, Brother Ross, does this happen? Oh, yes. We're a blessed people here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and most don't realize a lot of this stuff goes on. But there's churches all over this land. It's deacon run. Now, you can't allow that. You know why? Because it's unscriptural. Let me just give you another one. What if there was a deacon or someone who wanted to be a deacon who was divorced and remarried? Would you let him? You know, there again, Pastor, we're so blessed here. We have people here that is divorced and remarried. They have never once ever come to me and said, I want to be a deacon. But yet they're one of the most wonderful, some of the most wonderful servants that you'd ever find. No, I'm serious about it. Precious, wonderful service. But they know better, because they know the scripture speaks against them. But there's people out there that don't. Now, you're going to have to make a decision. Where are you going to stand?
Right.
Are you going to allow preachers into your pulpit who have been divorced and remarried? You're going to have to decide that. You're going to have to decide what kind of church you are going to establish. And let me say to you, establish it as right as you can when it's first begun.
Right.
You're not perfect. You'll make mistakes. When you find you have, correct them.
Amen.
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 Will you keep only King James Bible preachers in your pulpit? You got to be careful, because I'm going to tell you, they'll slip on in on you if you don't be careful. Years and years ago, I had a missionary couple come, and the reason I had this couple come was because a preacher that was a well-known preacher in America sent me a card and said, if you could have this couple in, they're going to be in your area, recommended them, and I did it because on his say-so. Well-known preacher. After I had them, he preached and was there. I got a call from a dear friend of mine and said, did you have so-and-so? I said, yes. And he said, did you know that both of them has been divorced and remarried? He said, what did you do, Brother Ross? Well, me and him went for a ride. And I told him, I said, you know, you have a right to do what you wish, but you don't have a right to come into my church and not let me know your position, where you're at. And then I called this well-known preacher. And I told him the same thing. I said, sir, you have a right to do anything you want to do. It's your church. But don't you ever send a recommendation to me again unless you let me know what the situation is. Now you say, Brother Ross, is that going to happen? I'm telling you it's going to happen. You have to be so careful. You have to guard your pulpit.
Yes, sir.
Understand? And sometimes that's difficult, but you must guard your pulpit. Number four, last. Preach the word. In the book of Mark, first chapter, the book of Mark, let me read to you. Verse 1, in the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. You got to remember what he said about John. He was a messenger, God's messenger. That's what you must be. And he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. Verse 7, and preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latches of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. You see, he came preaching. That's what you've got to do. You've got to preach the Bible, the Word of God. I'm going to go back over to Matthew just for a moment. The third chapter of Matthew should have kept you there, but verse 1 and 2. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Once again, let me say to you, he came preaching. I'm saying to you, go to your churches and preach.
Amen.
John the Baptist, my son will be proud of me. John the Baptist, I had a message on John the Baptist, Pastor Jerry. The man, the method, and the message. You like it? Some of you don't know what we're talking about, but anyway. But three M's. I told him before we started, I said, Pastor Jerry, I said, I'm going to be prompt, precise, and pointed. Is that okay? He said, amen. Three P's. Now it's three M's. But anyway, he was a man sent from God. That's what the Bible says. He was a man sent from God. And God's called you. Remember who sent you. What a privilege it is, young men, for God to reach down, put his hand on you, and say, I want you to go preach. What a privilege. Amen. Don't disappoint him. I'm not talking about you perfect. I'm just talking about, just don't disappoint him. Be his messenger. Just be his messenger. And then he had a method, and his method was preaching. You know, can you imagine John Baptist having a special day on Sunday and saying, come and see me, I'm going to eat live locusts. Amen. That's the way John Baptist got a crowd. Amen. He said, and after that, we're going to put a tub of honey and honeycomb down right before Sunday school class, before we send them into Sunday school class, and let all the kids dip their hands in them and eat it, and then send them to the teachers. Amen. Isn't that what they do to you when Sunday school teaches? See, I'm doing that to Sunday school teachers because they do that to the pastor because they give them all this candy, and then they come up and want to eat it during the while he's preaching. I'm going to just get them a tub of honey and just send all the kids to the Sunday school classes. We're going to have a special day. And then we're going to have a day when we have camel hair Sunday. The men will wear camel hair bibs and the ladies will wear camel hair outfits. We'll have a special day. Amen. And men, don't forget the leather girdles. Now, you know what's funny? He just came preaching. Now, I've kidded around, and I know you're going to have special days, and you're going to have all these things, but listen, don't ever forget the preaching. You remember something. It's not singing. Singing is wonderful. It's glorious. It's precious. And it's wonderful to get a service ready. But there must be preaching. Amen. These sing-ins and all of that stuff, for as I'm certain, will never happen at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. No. Preaching. So you can have singing, have all this stuff. We always have preaching, don't we, Pastor? Always preaching. Amen. Our pastor preaches the Word of God. I had just looked over and seen Cheryl, and I want to say to you ladies, this church is blessed to have had two precious ladies as pastor's wives. My wife and Sister Cheryl, who has been tremendous examples to the ladies of this church. And the way I've got it figured is one of these days that's what we're going to be saying about these two. Amen. Let it be so. Amen. Because your ladies need it. Okay. And then lastly, his message. I'm going to give first what he said, and I'll tell you what else he said. But he said, repent or perish. And let me say something to you. One of the problems in our churches today is we have a bashful brand of Christianity that does not want to tell the people their condition. If you do not tell the people of their condition, let me say to you, they'll never need Christ. If you don't get them lost, how are they ever going to get saved? And John the Baptist's message was, you repent or you perish. I don't know exactly how you're going to say it, but what you're going to have to get that over to a lost world, that they're lost before, as John the Baptist did, came along and said, behold, let me tell you something. Yes, repent or perish. You need to be saved. And let me tell you about one who's before me. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Said he preached repent or perish, but then he gave them Jesus. And I say to you, I want to encourage you to do the same thing. Awaken them to their need. Amen. If they don't know they have a need, they're never going to get saved. They may have some religious experience, but they're not going to know they need to repent and get saved. Yes. Right. Amen. Right. Young men, go and preach. Preach the Word of God. Be voices. I've been calling for everywhere I can for voices that'll be crying voices across this land in America. Go out there and be crying voices. If it puts you in prison, preach. If it costs you your head, preach. Let's pray. Father, again I thank you for your grace, your goodness, your kindness. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for these precious two young men and their wives and families. Thank you for them. God bless them in a rich, special way. Help them to just be your messengers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.